Well, I don't know about you, but I've had enough of this cold weather.
Yeah.
They kind of tease us with a 70-degree day, and then the next day it's 32 or something. But according to what it looks like, we will have warmer weather that's on the way this week. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Let's say hello to our online crowd. God bless you guys. And just a special shout-out, Rob and Margie, if you're watching from Tennessee. You should be here. No, you're good. You're good. Enjoy your vacation. It's great to have you guys with us today. I was going to tell you that I broke my pencil earlier, but I didn't feel led to because it would probably be pointless. Okay, now that you've had your bad joke, you're ready. God is so good. I'm so thankful. A bunch of us went together this last Thursday and saw Tim Hawkins, Christian comedian in Mansfield, actually just 5-6 miles from our house. That was one of the first times we were like, oh, this is what this feels like. So when we left there, we were like, we're home. It's 10 minutes. This is awesome. But anyway, we had just a good time. So much fun to laugh. And I was laughing so hard, I was crying. And I was laughing because my wife was laughing at me. Because you know how I am. I say something silly. And I didn't mean, because I was just oblivious to what the actual thing was going on. And so I asked her, and she just started cracking up. She lost it. And then I lost it, watching her lose it, because I lost it. So that's how our life goes. I am entertainment for heaven, and I'm proud of it. That's right. Well, I wanted to talk to you this morning about this subject. I think we're at a place in life, as far as believers or whatever, where we've had enough. Have you ever had enough? I mean, almost kind of the Popeye, that's all I can stands, I can't stands no more. Now, we don't all have spinach. I get it. But the Holy Spirit is your empowerment, and it is God inside you. But we all have battles. Every one of you have battles in this room, myself included. Some are just mental battles. You know, some of you fight the fight of faith, and it's, you know, most of the battle is between your ears, isn't it? You start doing one thing, and the enemy's like, boom, 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 bombarding you with, you're never enough, it's not good enough, or that's stupid, or that's a bad idea, or, you know, you will never believe, or that's not going to happen. And I mean, and the list just goes on. Others have physical battles. They have the mental battles as well, but there's something physically that is wrong. And so it affects sometimes their mental state, because I could do this if it wasn't for this. Some have emotional battles. They're just very emotional. They're driven that way. They always have to feel something. And I understand God gave us emotions, and I'm thankful for them. But emotions can't rule your life, because it'll be a real up and down roller coaster if you allow emotions just to take charge and do everything. Some have belief battles. I believe this, but I don't believe that. Some of us are just mindsets. Have you ever believed something and then found out later? Maybe I didn't believe, maybe I was wrong. And so we're stuck in a mindset battle. Old mindsets need to be broken of what we thought back in the day, because it was always taught us. And you've heard the story of the family that they cooked a ham, let's say Easter, because most people have ham on Easter. All right, well, I don't know, maybe ham on Easter? Turkey on Easter? No, look, ladies are looking at me. No, don't you? Talking turkey here. This is Easter. Okay, well, you know, the story goes that the ham was, you know, there. She was teaching her daughter, this wonderful lady's teaching her daughter, we're going to have ham. Here's how you make it. She cuts off the end, and she throws that away. And the daughter says, why did you throw that away? And she goes, I don't know. It's the way my mom taught me. We always throw that end away. We never keep that. And so they did a little research, and the mom went to the grandma. The grandma says, the way my mom taught me. And they found out the research. They said, why'd you cut that off? She said, because I never had a pan to fit it. But for generations, they just thought, you never eat that part of the ham. It's forbidden. And here, you know, there was nothing wrong with the end. It's just they didn't have room. And so, you know, sometimes we get our mind set because somebody said this and said that. I don't know about you, but as I've read this book will change you. And sometimes in our state, what we're battling, Sometimes we take it wrong. Maybe we didn't catch the full emphasis of what Jesus is saying, or we didn't take time to study it to know what it actually meant. We're in age of everything. Hey, can you give me the grocery list? I'll text it to you. Okay. Or, are you mad? I am not mad. But when you read it, it doesn't sound like you're not mad. If I read it, sounds like you're mad. I'm not. My wife will ask me, because I am just a dude. I am not a flowery dude. I am not let me send you something. I'm not that. She'll say, did you send any emojis with it? What's an emoji? Those little faces or anything. I might send in, I got guys on a text right here, I might send fist, But I don't send a whole lot unless, I figure some things out and then I'll send some things. But that's just not me. She goes, well, they could take that like you don't mean this, you mean that. I'm like, but that's not what I mean. Well, send something so they know you're not mad. I'm not mad. But we live in that kind of age. So we have belief battles. We have, our mindsets are this, and we take things wrong because they maybe we're edgy and they come across wrong. And we've all been edgy. I've been edgy. Some just doing life battles. You ever just like, I just want to go back in bed and let this dream stop and get up? And sometimes we have days like that. I get it. But the enemy is more than happy and more than ready to deceive you. He is more than happy to make you afraid. He is more than happy to bring doubt and unbelief. He's more than happy to mess with your confession. He's more than happy to let you be confused. He's more than happy to lose your peace for you. He'll help you with that all day long. It's easy to get overwhelmed if we allow it. You have the say of what stays in your brain. You can do stinking thinking. We can all do that all day long. But you have authority of what you keep in your between your ears, what you meditate on. Let's ask ourselves this question. What does the Word say? And that should be our standard, y'all. That should be our standard. What does the Word say about this? I love Revelation 12:11, one of my favorite scriptures. And they overcame him, meaning the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives into death. You got to understand, what are you going through? Is there a word for that? I'm telling you, there's a word for that. There is a scripture that you can pull and use for that. Now, whether you believe it or not, whether that makes that effective, it might just be ink on a page for you. But if you believe, confess with your mouth, who am I talking to today? Believe in your heart. You can have the result. The word will bring the result. The word never comes back void. The word is our weapon. It's our sword, our shield in time of trouble. The word can bring you peace when you need it most. His word is really so significant in everything you do. You can swap what the world brings, and get what the Word brings. You can get truth for lies. In other words, the Word will break and dissolve and obliterate the lies of the enemy if you allow it to get in and be your truth. It's part of God's exchange program. Now, this is Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as this message goes along, but isn't that really what happens? Jesus is on the way to make the exchange for you and I. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They may have called trees of righteousness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. Are you really wanting to go to the Word for your answer? You know, this is what we do. Because this is America. We almost think, if there's anything easy, we'll take it. And I don't mean that there's nothing wrong with taking if it's something the Lord wants you to do. You might want to work smarter than harder. It's not terrible. But what if we don't consider the Word at all? We'll go to other people and get advice. And I've done it. I got the T-shirt for it. when I should have just went to the Word and just found out what does God say? Spent time in prayer. Let the Word speak to me. I have people that have told me this in years past. I want to go to God, not the Word, but I want to go to God. John 1:1 says the Word is God. Just a clue. It says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot go wrong by going to the Word. You see, this is what I've found out. You want to ask somebody, go to five people and ask them, how should you file your taxes? Joanne, this isn't meant for you wherever you're at. She's a tax accountant. She's always swamped at this time of year. How do you file? People say, oh, you should file jointly but separately, and you should claim. You know, there's all kinds of, oh, you need to do this or do that. You know, there's some people just like, somebody just take it and do it and then tell me what I need to do. Tell me where to sign. But you deserve what you tolerate, what you put up with. But if you put up with something long enough and you finally find out there's a better system, I'm here to tell you the kingdom of God has a better system than the earth curse system, than the world system, than the enemy system. Is he not the God of this world? Yes, that's a very good answer for you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Jim. But he is. And so he's going to try to mislead you. You'll have to get that video ready, Ron. I grew up with a mom that I'm sure at times I pushed her limits. I don't know that you can imagine that, but I did. She would tell me what I could and couldn't do, and sometimes it was okay, and other times I didn't like it. She told me not to climb trees. I like to climb trees. And I would, if I saw a tree, that's how I viewed it. Oh, that's the best tree climb. Oh, that's all. Brett Allen! If she caught me in a tree, I was going to get a whipping. Yeah, back in the day, we got spanked. I don't know if you ever get, you know. My mom would take me out of the store, go spank me, and bring me back. She did not care. She would take me to church in my pajamas. She did not care. You're going. I don't want to go. Didn't know that was even an option. You want to go like that? You can explain it to your friends. I never did like those footy pajamas. But I pushed mom to her limits. I want to show you this quick video. We've had four children, five if we count the one that's already in heaven, but we have four. This is our youngest. She's back helping your children. That's a 7-second video to show how Mal's babysitting techniques work out. No, Mal was fine. Mal was babysitting during that time. That was Maddie. And you saw the little blue, that was a little tent or fort they were doing. And she was just making a cute video. I was going to just film. That's back in the day where you had the video projector, you know. You know, you put it on your shoulder and, you know. And Maddie, I don't know why, but she had had enough. And then in 7 seconds, just went over and slapped the camera about out of her hand. And then we get the phone call. Dad! This is what she did. Have you ever experienced, have you had enough or your mom had enough? My mom was much like Mark Lowry's mom. He talks of his mom and I'm like, you have been in my house. And now he says he wished that God would have put a red light on the back of a mom's head that would just blink 10 seconds before enough. Because you can make a lot of tracks in 10 seconds. But, you know, my mom would spin, turn around, and she said, Brett, I've just about had enough. And I said something almost to the letter of what he said to his mom. Well, mom, help yourself. There's plenty more. She didn't like that. And she would say, you just wait till your father gets home. My dad came home every day. And I knew what time he came home, and she would send me to my room, sometimes hours before he came home. You think about what you've done, and my thought was, I did. That's why I did it. But when I hear my dad hit the floor, as soon as he hit the door, she'd say, David, do you know what your son did? And it was important that I hear her make this call because half the time I didn't know what I did. Or my sister had framed me. So she's probably watching me right now. I mean, I never know. I was getting spanked. I'm like, what am I getting spanked for? Somebody tell me. So see, that explains who's Karen. So that's what Tim Hawkins was talking, did a song about Karen because Karen is a type or something. And I turned my wife halfway through his bit and I said, who's Karen? And she just lost it. But she'd have to be there, I guess. But anyway, I would get disciplined. My mom, now this is my point, she would wait and she would give this to my father. When have you had enough to give this to your father? Your heavenly father. When will you let him take care of it? When will you use his language, his way of getting this done instead of yours? Because I'm telling you, mine didn't work. I put on like 5 pairs of underwear just because I knew it was coming. And I thought, man, the more padding I have back there, the less I'll feel it. It never hurt as bad when mom did it. But when dad was going to do it, that's no bueno. I did not like that. But here's the thing. This, if you don't give this thing to God, it doesn't happen automatically. God cannot get involved until you involve him. See, people just think, oh, God just does whatever he wants. Again, I've told you, yes, he's sovereign over all, but when it comes to authority, you have authority. You have to let him in. You have to get him involved in your prayer. You have to get him involved in this situation. Because if you don't, he can't come in. That's why the kingdom changes. Remember how they got the loaves and the fish? They were given to the Lord. When they were given to the Lord, they changed kingdoms. And so now he has legal jurisdiction to move on, same as it with your prayer, on your behalf. That's how all the fish came. Can I use your boat? Yes. When he said yes, the business changed kingdoms. So now he could catch all the fish because Jesus had jurisdiction. God will give you a plan, a strategy, but he will require that you put your hand to it because he's involved. Do you know God never loses? Isn't that awesome? I mean, if you were picking sides, I'm picking God because he never loses. I'm telling you, it's time. Get rid of it. Settle this. Have you had enough? Give it to God. This is your decision. PB, what are you telling me? He's going to use you, listen to what I'm saying, to enforce this authority of whatever you need to give to him because he's delegated it to you. Let me make this more real. I got a beautiful wife. I can prove there's a God. I just have to sit or stand beside her. That's my story. But when we were dating, there's a lot of guys, not just me, that said, she pretty. And I get it. I mean, they're not blind. I get it. But one guy in particular, keep crossing the line. So I had to convince him. So I tried. You'll love this, Jeremy. I tried. I went to him kindly and said, I need you to ask you to leave her alone. And he was kind of like, okay. I mean, do you understand that the devil will lie? So he lied to my face, no problem. But he never left her. He never left her alone. I did it a second time. I was a little more forceful, a little more stern in my voice. I'm not saying I'm going to ask you. I'm telling you now, you need to leave her alone. Because if this happens again, I won't be saying it this way. Still didn't. A little more time went in between. So I think it kind of scared him. He still didn't. So the third time, the Bible says you can lay hands on people and they'll recover. So I did. And I had him off the ground. And I said, if there's a fourth time, you'll have to wake up before you can answer. Something like that. No, I'm not advocating fighting. I'm telling you, this is me, how many years? 39 years this June, so Okay, 40 years ago. Listen to me, 40 years ago. So he left her alone for a little while. Then he didn't. And then, so I'm like strapping on this thing to be Rambo. And the only three words I want to say is, I'll be back. That's the only thing. And she knows me well enough by this time to be like, Brett, we will never get married because you'll be in jail. And so she, now listen to what I'm saying. She had to use the authority she had. I want you to catch what I'm saying. I didn't have to go and beat him up because it probably wouldn't have solved anything. I mean, it would have made me feel better, but wouldn't have solved anything because he could have still came back. And I mean, how long would that go? I don't know. But she went, and this is what she told him. Don't bother me ever again. I'm not interested in you. I don't have any interest in you. I will never have interest in you. Leave me alone. It was done. You say, well, that sounds easy. Well, I don't know if it was easy for her, but what I'm saying is she had to take charge of something that was bothering her because he kept pestering her, driving by her house and doing all this stuff. And, of course, I was never around because he knew where I was. He'd wait till I was somewhere else. And so me just being, again, I'm just a dude. Me protect my stuff. You Jane, me Tarzan. So that's kind of what I'm, and so, but she took the authority. You will have to take the authority to take care or the enemy won't stop. You have to take it. You can listen to me all day long. You can buy all, you know, whatever. Of course, what I'm doing is free. I get it. You know, it'll be online for free. But I'm saying you can go to get self-help tapes. You can go to a counselor. But if you don't take authority, if you don't take control, if you don't let God have this and you use the authority he's God-given you, you will fight this all the time. So let's look at our main text. If you don't enforce it, it's not going to stop. 1 Samuel 23, 11 and 12. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Heratite. The Philistines had gathered together in a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. Lentils are like peas, okay? So just picture a garden. So the people fled from the Philistines because the Philistines have been coming. Now, he's one of David's mighty men. The Philistines have been just raiding, taking whatever they want, plundering. But he had had enough. He stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. How about you? You see, it won't stop if you just allow the fight to keep going. But what does God say? How do you stop it? Well, I've been saying this. Have you been saying the word? Because the word doesn't come back void. You can't stop the word. There are people like, I don't believe the word. Well, it won't work for you, but it'll work for me. Maybe you don't think highly of yourself. Brad, I don't know. Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Look at Proverbs 27:19. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Here's spies that were sent out. Remember, they're supposed to go into the promised land. They send out spies. Two of them come back and say, we can do this. Here's what these other guys say. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in there. How did they know how they were in their sight? This is how they saw themselves, so that's how they feel everybody sees you. Now, I'm going to be as honest and genuine. Of course, I'd always be honest, but as genuine as I can. I just sent Pastor Gary. A few weeks ago, I preached a message called Stay at Your Assignment. You remember that? I really felt the Lord in that message, a great message, and the Lord told me to send that to him. Well, I saw it. You can watch it on YouTube. I pulled it up on YouTube. And I pulled it up, and I did not like what I saw because it was me. But I didn't like how I looked. Now, I probably won't like how I look when I see this, but I try not to watch this because I don't like it. But it was one of those moments that I sent that to him. I'm glad I sent it to him But I had had enough. I saw that and was just like, what? Now, you might be saying, like, well, I don't get it, Brett. Well, you got to understand, years ago when I met her, I was a competitive bodybuilder. So then I let myself go. Then I lost like 65 pounds. And I haven't gained it all back yet, but I'm telling you what, I'm pushing the mark. You know, and so when I saw that, I had said to myself, I've had enough. So I have to change my thinking and my perspective and perception of how I see myself, and I want to put it as how God sees me. And so I want to have a vision of how I want to be and how I want to look again and feel healthy again, because I don't need this mindset. We were like grasshoppers. Some of you all here listening to me and you're like, well, that'll happen for you, but it won't. I can't do anything. I do everything wrong. Or I listen. Stop it. Now, the only reason I'm sharing that story about me with you is because I'm just trying to be as transparent as I can. And honestly, before I shared that, I am asking, Lord, I do not want to share that. Because you've been looking at it for a long time. I wasn't looking at it. Doesn't that look different in the mirror at home? Is anybody just me? I don't know. In the mirror at home, I didn't look that big. But on the TV, hey. That's what I felt. So I was like, okay, I've had enough. I mean, I had a clue when I got on the scale, and the scale said, one at a time, please. No, that's not true. I'm just teasing. But I got 3 points for you today, okay? They're very simple, but they will help you. And that's what I want to do. I want to help you because I'm walking through this myself. Here's our first one. Start where you are. Now, I've preached this message before, but I rewrote it for this day because it's been years since I preached it, but he brought this to my attention, and I've spent this last week redoing this message. Well, actually, I couldn't find it, so I had to just start with, okay, show me where to go. So that's how this happened. Start where you are. Quit comparing yourself with everyone else or anyone else. Are you listening? Be you and begin your destiny that God has for you. Nobody in here will be able to do your assignment the way that God wants you to do it. You need that touch, that flair. He gave that gift to you. That's what he wants. He wants, we all have assignments. We all have jobs to do for the kingdom. If you try to be somebody else, it's not your assignment. God has given me favor wherever I've went. I've been friends with some big time pastors. I was a friend with a nationally known pastor, I'm not going to say, but because it really doesn't matter. I mean, I got to be on his jet and all that stuff. That's wonderful. I mean, that's cool. But I mean, kind of you get to be who you hang out with sometimes. Isn't that true? So that's why it does matter, mom and dad, who your kids hang out with. It does matter who's speaking into their life. It does matter if they attend things that are going to pour. You know, some of the things we think we don't, it doesn't matter. Later, now that we're older, we look back and go, boy, that mattered. But anyway, I just thought, wow, he's successful. I'll just do that. And I started kind of preaching and acting a little like him. My wife would probably say a lot. Maybe it's true. But she pulled me down and had one of those moments because she's my best friend, my confidant, everything. And she said to me, we already have one of those in this world. Quit being him. Be you. And it just kind of hit me like, because it was hard to be him. Because I had to not be me to be him. Be you. Start where you are. Quit saying, I'm not here, and I'm not here. And maybe you've had a setback. Okay, isn't that what the blood is for? Isn't that what forgiveness is for? Start where you are. His mercies are new every morning. Let the grace of God, let him say, I love you. There is nothing, listen to me, nothing you can do to make him love you less. And there is nothing you can do to make him love you more. Here's next. First, start where you are. Use what you got. Some of you saw me slide this out here. This isn't a walking stick. This is a bow staff. I have three different belts and three different kinds of karate. It's been a long time. Why am I bringing this out? Because I can picture this guy in a garden just saying, digging his heels in and going, come on. Come on. I'm not giving this up. I'm not. Now, the reason I wanted you to see this illustration is because, number one, when we compare ourselves, we think because we don't have what they have, we can't do what they do. Start where you are. Use what you got. You don't have to have everything they have. If God be for you, who can be against you? You start with what you got. You might not be able to do that. Maybe you don't, I'm supposed to do that. Maybe he'll lead you a different direction. You don't need, maybe, you know what? I don't have the Thor hammer. No, but this will put an ouchie on you. I don't have the Aragorn sword, or I don't have that. I got this. Take it. Have you ever just told the enemy, I'm done. I'm done. I am done. You're going to have to come. I'm telling you more than I can even have almost. Have you ever where you just like, you are in, let me talk to the dudes, the guys. Are you in protection mode? If anybody would ever get in your house, and I'm not saying that'll happen, I break that. But will you be like, I would have a hard time believing, especially like a Jay Ray, him going, well, Lord, please just keep them out of Sonny's room and just keep me and Amy safe. And he'll just stay over in the corner. Can you picture that? How about Jeff Milgate? No. Somebody's going to hear a loud bang before they ever get 4 feet in. But me would be the same. You know, we have security people that are in here. And here's part of the issue. Pastor, if anything would ever go down, we have to get you off the platform and somewhere. I'm like, as long as she's here, I'm not going. I got my mother-in-law back there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, where are the people, the men and women of God that said, you know what? This is what God says. That's good enough for me. His word is true. He says he'll protect me. I believe it. Now, we have been married 39 years in June, and we had this one house, and it was a God house. We got in that house in less than 30 days, and it was a miracle, and it was a beautiful house. I mean, it's one of those houses you just walk in and go, hang stuff on the wall. You didn't really have to do anything. And how God did it was crazy cool. But anyway, we're in this house. I was asleep. Have you ever been somewhere and you're asleep and all of a sudden you feel like somebody is staring at you? I mean, I wake up. Kim is right here because this was the bed and the doorway was here and this is the side towards the door. And you all know this. I always sleep. No matter where we've had, on the side towards the door, because if anyone would ever break in my house, heaven forbid, and I believe they won't, and they never have, they'd have to come through me before they'd ever get to her. And her dad loved that about me. But I didn't do it for her dad. I did it because I love her. But I'm glad that he liked it. And I did it for God. Well, anyway, I wake up and I'm like, somebody is staring at me. At the end of the bed, there is a dark figure. And he's just doing this. And Kim goes, honey, there's somebody in the room. Now, when your wife says, honey, there's somebody in the room, do you go, take care of that, will you? You're pretty good with your hands. I know you can smack them. Have you ever seen Pastor Kim? She is like kung fu, man. Go ahead, babe, take care of it. No. And I look around, I see this figure. And this is what's going through my mind. She said, this is the fastest. I don't think Bruce Lee could have did this faster. I was there, but I don't remember how it all, you know, all I knew was whoever this was, there was a window back here. This didn't make any sense. Of course, I just woke up. They're going through the window, and we're both either going out the second story through the window, which probably would hurt because that's the movies are kind of, you know. But I'm like, they're going down or through the window. And I was up, and I was about to leap on this person, and she goes, "Brad, wait, it's Zach," which is my oldest son. And he was just doing that Snoopy thing. I can't sleep. My point, I didn't have anything in my hand, but I'm going to use what I got. Quit letting the enemy run roughshod over you. Use what you got. Start where you are. And you'd be like, "Well, you know what? It's been so long." So what? So what? Start now. And say, "This is it. I have had enough." But God, if you use what you got, he will give you resources. You just don't see them. I have found stuff that, you know why we don't see them? We're not looking for it. Or we're looking for it in a certain way. Have you ever lost anything and you can't find it? Women, you have those, whatever those things are behind your earrings, what are they called? Okay. Earring backs. Hey, caveman, do you know what these are called? Well, Kim has lost some of those. I lost the earring back. And have you just like... for 20 minutes, crawled on the floor, looked like Sherlock Holmes looking for this, and then just to have your smart-aleck little kid go, "Oh, here it is." You've been looking there for 20 minutes. But I don't even know what the stupid thing looks like. I'm just thinking that was a cracker crumb. If I would have known better, probably would have ate it. Sometimes we think God's going to show up this way. He's going to do this, and this is what we're looking for. We need to look for this. What if he doesn't? He's going to show up, but what if he doesn't do it the way you think? I prayed for deer to come in. I'm thinking, "Oh, the deer's going to come here." And I've been back going back to my car, and the deer jumps out in front of me. But I wasn't ready. Why? Because I have my mind set on my own way. And his ways are higher than mine. And if I'd listened to his spirit, I would have been ready. Here's our last one. Do what you can. Put your hand to what the Lord has given you. Be obedient. Multiplication happens when he gets jurisdiction. When you let him in on what is bothering you, or you let him in on the issue, now he can get involved. And you're the one that can let that happen. You're the one that can guard your peace. You're the one that can keep yourself together. You're the one that can say, "This is the Lord's. The battle is not mine." You're the one that makes that decision. But if you don't want him to be involved, he will not get involved. Now, I understand there are some things, because of just being a covenant person, there's just that's wonderful. That just happened. I'm talking about specific things. If you're wanting answers in any kind of timely matter, you have to get him involved. Things don't change until you bring action to the situation, until you walk it out. See, that's what happens. I want to be out of debt. Well, you didn't get in debt in one day. You probably won't get out in one day. I mean, it could happen, but you'll probably have to walk out. You'll have to be disciplined. You'll have to put your hand to it. You'll have to get your focus. God, what do you say? What happens if Shammah wouldn't stood in the middle of that field? What happens if he didn't just say, "Okay, it's on. I'm done. If this is my last day, I'm going to go down swinging." What would happen if John the Baptist had not said what he said and prepared the way of the Lord? What happens if he would just say, because the culture back then, really, he was going against the grain because he's, He didn't look, he's wild. He's camel, eating locusts. I mean, you know, looks like probably some of us when we get up in the morning. Probably same breath. What would happen if Mary had not said what she did when the angel appeared? Be it as unto me. What if she would have said, up your nose with a rubber hose. I ain't doing that. That's not recorded. I didn't really mean that, okay? But she had to agree with it. I mean, she had to understand. She had to know the Spirit of God. And she had to say, be it unto me. Let it be like you said. What if she said, I'm not calling him Jesus? But she believed and she understood and her spirit connected and she said, yes, she's going to go. Listen, she's going to go through all kinds of ridicule because they're not married yet. And she's with child. And she already knows his name and she already knows why he's coming. And people think she's cuckoo. What would have happened if Joseph said, you know what, Mary? But he got a visit, and he said, okay. Brett, what are you telling me? I'm telling you this. If you will stay with God, whatever it takes, he'll prove to you how much he loves you. If he has an assignment for you, he'll show you. If he has to send an angel, he'll send an angel. It's not like he's got, well, I don't know who I'm going to send. Let's send Clarence. No, that was in a movie. I don't know. He'll send whatever he has to do. What if Jesus had not stood in his field? Because he was part man. He's half man. I mean, matter of fact, Jesus, if you remember in the garden, he didn't want to do it. If there's any way we could do, you got another plan? See, obedience is so key. And you know that word obedience, there's that little three-letter word in there, die. Sometimes we have to die to ourselves because God is saying, I have bigger things for you. Now, this is Palm Sunday. This is the day that Jesus, he'd been talking to his peeps, his homies, or his disciples all this time and told them, I got to do this. He had rebuked Peter. Peter said, no, this isn't going to happen. He said, get thee behind me. So you need to understand every step this little colt takes with Jesus on his back is a step towards victory. It is Jesus has made up his mind. I must fulfill this will of the Father. My friends, practice is so important. You're going to have plenty of opportunities even after today to practice. What's the word say? Because when game day comes, when it's time, you better know what the word says. Because the battle is won on the practice field. It's played on game day. It's just fulfilled on game day. We know what the plays are. God's told me to play. You know what I'm saying? Did you know that the cross was won in Gethsemane? Palm Sunday. As he's coming in, he had already won the battle. He's just going to walk it out. You understand? He's going to make it happen because he knows what his Father wants. So he's going to make it happen. And on that day, every one of us was about to be free. As he comes in, they're saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they tell him, you got to keep everybody quiet. And he said, even the rocks would cry out. That just gives me, you know why? Because God is the creator. His creation would say, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes today.